Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
So listener feedback, we got a couple today, and they kind of span two different episodes. So I think that's kind of interesting. So the first one is, Dear Podcast Envy, I love the way you start your podcast with listener feedback. Please keep doing them.
Oh, okay. Thanks. Thanks from listener feedback.
I don't think we planned on changing that.
Well, they had good reason to write in. They say, I had to email you about this because in the episode with Chris Campbell, you did some behind the scenes chatter as the opener, and it was good, but I prefer the feedback.
Okay, oh. Jamie.
It wasn't Jamie. It was Meta Feedback was what they signed their name as.
It's probably Chris.
Yeah. Warm regards.
Yeah. Well, that's funny because it's Meta Feedback, you know, because there's feedback about feedback.
Yeah.
Ebra.
Anyway, the second one was, in your Float On episode, you guys really seem to like the Garden State soundtrack. Besides that one, what are your favorite soundtracks?
Movie soundtracks?
Yeah.
That's a good one.
That's a good question.
Space Jam. That's a great soundtrack.
Yeah, you are a Kelly lover.
I actually kind of deep dived into this because I was like, oh, I mean, I know.
No fair. We didn't get a chance to deep dive. I wanted to deep dive.
I'm offering you, I'm lending you a hand. I'm going to give you a list of some you know, good soundtracks that I found. So there's Forrest Gump.
Okay.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
That's a good one.
A Hard Day's Night by the Beatles. Purple Rain.
Mm-hmm.
Do the Right Thing.
That's a movie?
Yeah.
Who's in it?
I can IMDb it real quick and find out.
You're just looking up random soundtracks? I think I have one. And it's because the reason why it's popping in my head is because it was one of the songs on the soundtrack is one of the songs that I listed in our summer jams.
Mm-hmm.
The Tomb Raider, original Tomb Raider soundtrack.
What song was that?
It was the boom.
Oh, that's right.
You know, yeah, the slow.
I remember you talking about that.
Slow burn. But yeah, there are a bunch of songs that are great on there.
So it's a Spike Lee joint. Came out in the 90s. John Turturro is in it.
Where were you when this movie came out?
What did you say, late 90s?
Yeah.
What was it called?
Not early 90s.
Doing the Right Thing.
Do the Right Thing. I'm sorry, it was 1989. So, yeah.
I was not conceived.
You weren't here yet? 1989?
No, I wasn't here yet. No.
Okay. Okay. We're just old then.
Giancarlo Esposito was in it.
I know Giancarlo Stanton.
Esposito was the guy in Breaking Bad who owned the chicken place.
Oh, okay.
Plus many of his other songs.
So what are the songs on the soundtrack that are making me think?
What am I missing?
Yeah. Is there a pun or a joke in here somewhere?
You're going to make me look up the soundtrack.
I'm going to make you look up everything because you brought it up.
On crutches.
ASAP as possible.
Do
another good soundtrack.
Armageddon was a good soundtrack.
Oh, awesome soundtrack.
Yeah.
The original Spider-Man movie. Not original, but the one... they say that hero can save us.
But can he?
I'm not going to stand here and wait. That was Nickelback.
Nickelback. And wasn't it Josie, what's his face?
Yeah, the guy from Click Click Boom.
Yeah, from POD?
No, it wasn't POD, but it was a POD, you know,
I thought
it was
band.
Satellite band.
That was around that time.
I thought it was POD.
Mm-mm.
If I saw the name, it would drive me crazy.
I can picture his
Saliva.
Face.
Saliva, yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Boom.
Pete Yorn had a good song on that soundtrack, too.
What was which Batman was it that Kiss from a Rose?
Was that Michael Keaton first one?
Was it the first one?
Mm-hmm. I think so. Oh no, it could have been Val Kilmer.
I think it was a Val Kilmer one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. Where were you when all these things were happening? I think these are still 80s.
Yeah, I wasn't here yet. 108
FM. Is this Backstreet or Backstreet? Boyz II Men?
No.
And what made you bring up this soundtrack? I have to know. What's the connection?
Rolling Stones top 100 soundtrack. But this has Fight the Power.
Okay.
Which is a very popular song from that time.
Oh, what about Dirty Dancing?
Yeah.
We sing one of those songs.
That's true. I don't know if I know other songs on that soundtrack, though.
That's okay.
And don't forget, like, A Goofy Movie.
I only know one song off of that one.
That whole soundtrack is pretty killer.
A Goofy Movie?
A Goofy Movie.
What is that?
Oh, it's a movie about Goofy and his son, Max, I think his name is his son.
Okay, okay.
Max! Pretty good, guys.
Actually, nice. I think I loved that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a coming-of-age cartoon.
She was in a bouncy seat watching it.
Again!
Yeah, most of these soundtracks are going over my head.
Me too. Don't feel bad. Yeah.
This love definitely that. 90s. Love that synth. Love that synth. Open up your eyes, take a
look at me. It's amazing how many people, I don't know all the words to the song, but it's amazing how many people I know all the words to the song. And I'm just like watching them do the dance too, you know, where they're like sliding across the stage.
You know what my favorite song from the Goofy Movie soundtrack is?
Boy, we've totally gone off the rails.
I know.
Poor Tessa.
Real quick.
Last one, and then reel it back in.
She's like, wrap it up. Jeez.
She's like, I gotta go. Yeah.
On the open road. Come on, Maxie. I'd rather have detention. All in all, I'd rather read a tome. An old man drives like such a klutz that I'm about to hurl my goat.
Can you imagine being in the studio recording this?
On the open road.
Like, you think about the voice actors and all the songs that they have to record for the films. Are we just dying laughing?
I think so.
The whole time.
What's great is, like, when Brian's voice cracks, he jumps into, like, the goofy voice. Do you ever notice that?
I do.
Yeah. Like, if we're playing and his voice cracks or something, he'll just be like, hey, and I went down to the door. You know, like, he just jumps in. It's pretty good.
Is the Goofy Movie where he has a bottle of, like, liquid string cheese?
Yeah.
That's it, right?
So Pauly Shore is the guy with the glasses and the mohawk, and he's like, cheese.
Yeah. Okay, yep. Okay.
That's the one.
All right, because that's the only thing that I remember. And I always found that cheese appealing. So
The nice. Canned cheese, yeah. Cheese Whiz.
I've always liked canned cheese.
Good to know.
This is Podcast Envy.
We have yet another special guest on the pod today. According to the indiereview.com, she has celestial vocals that provides an undeniable comfort to the listener. She is a teacher of yoga of the voice, which includes paying attention to and interpreting the body's sensation and signals for the sake of developing your presence and voice mastery. She has an EP out now called The Both of Us, streaming on Apple and Spotify. Please welcome Tessa Elena.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for joining us tonight.
Thank you for having me. I'm thrilled to be here.
So why Tessa Elena? Do you get confused often with other Tessas?
No, not at all. I don't ever meet other Tessas. And I'm only really aware of one other musician named Tessa Violet. It's just my first and my middle name. Mm-hmm. My last name is Luther. So
any relation to Lex?
She never gets that.
Right.
Sure.
No.
I'm the first person to ask that.
So maybe that's why we do Tessa Elena.
Of relation, yes, to Martin Luther.
Oh,
of the 99 Theses.
Yeah. Wow.
That guy.
The Reformation guy.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So the book says.
Yeah.
Discuss coffee talk.
Yes.
I have limited information about the Reformation, but I'm sure I could call my dad and I'm sure he could tell you.
Is it a religious thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, we've had the pleasure of meeting multiple artists now over the course. This is our first year, actually, November. But there are other artists that we met that go by first name, middle name instead of, you know, first and last. So
Or first name, curious. Made up last name.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like Fox.
Like Joe Downer. Every, oh, God. I couldn't guy. Help myself.
I know.
Yeah.
And I think, I like my middle name. And I think also the last name Luther can have a religious connotation to it. And so
just make it
drop
simple.
That out.
Yeah.
You know,
stay focused. It's about the music.
Yeah. And Elena actually means one of its definitions is bright shining star. So I thought that was pretty
nice.
Cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
I tried doing that with Azure Vox. It didn't work out very well.
Oh, well, what does that mean?
The blue voice. Everybody was either Andrew Box or Andrew Fox. And I'm like, none of these things are things I've ever said, you know, because I thought that was kind of a cool thing. Anyway.
That comes up every episode.
I know.
Does it really?
Yes.
What?
To that extent?
Azure Vox?
Yeah. Azure Vox comes up every episode.
Yeah. All right. Well.
I like it though.
It's a part of history,
man. Yeah, it's part of the canon.
You got a fan.
Just let it exist. All right.
I will say, not to brag, but my family's lineage can be traced back to Sir Francis Bacon.
Oh.
His last name is actually Bacon.
Well, yeah. And you know, every time I see or hear your name, I wonder if you're related to Kevin Bacon.
Ah, yes. 7 degrees from Kevin Bacon.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
We have the same family lineage in England. His family came over at a different time than mine, but they were brothers.
Fascinating.
So are you from Virginia originally, or where did you grow up?
I grew up in Connecticut. Until I was about 11.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So started off in Old Greenwich, Connecticut, till I was about 5. And then after that, Litchfield, Connecticut, which is a rural small town in the northwest corner of Connecticut, and then moved out here.
Okay.
Yeah. Then 2 years in Philly while I went to Temple University.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. I'm from the Philadelphia area originally.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I love Philly.
It only comes up every freaking episode.
I know.
Hey, man.
All the time.
Well, I guess we each all have our tics, don't we? So how old were you when you started playing music or you got the music bug?
I mean, I started singing from a very young age. I don't really remember, but I, you know, would perform for family, you know, with my either in the other room or make everybody close their eyes or turn around. I had like horrific stage fright, you know? then I think by the time I was, I don't know, maybe 9, I was starting to do performances. We lived across the street from the private school where my mom worked, and they would do these mini American Idols and talent shows. And so that was some of the first stuff that I did. And I think I won. Like I won a little nice. American Idol. I sang, and I would sing was Norah Jones. I would sing like 2 Norah Jones songs and then a Summertime jazz standard. And those were my first things. And then I got a lead singing role in the play Joseph and His Multicolored Dreamcoat.
Yeah,
and that was great. And I did a British accent the whole time. I love accents, you know. So, those were some of my first, I guess, performing experiences.
So that was one of the questions I think we were going to ask is when you got into, well, obviously performing, but playing guitar and.
Yeah, so I picked up the guitar the first time I think when I was 12 or 10, and then I really picked back up when I was 15 with a guitar teacher who I met at my physical therapy. So he was like the PA at my physical therapist's office. And he started teaching me. And I learned like jazz and blues with him. So I learned really, really great skills. And I learned Lenny by Stevie Ray Vaughan. Mm. And I could play
That's a hard one to play.
I know. And like I can remember the beginning still, but not the rest of it. Sure. But that's how I started. And then After doing that work with him, then I started to teach myself rhythm guitar and just continued on by myself. So basically like 15. And that was when I started, you know, 16, I think was when I wrote my first original, and have just continued writing, you know,
When were you guys doing guitar lessons as part of the physical therapy? What was the physical therapy for your hands?
No, it was for the chronic pain. I had this, you know, chronic, you know, unexplained back pain and problems, you know, and I spent my childhood like going to different physical therapists and doctors and whatnot, you know, mm-hmm. so that was just, you know, one that I landed at. And that actually, that office or that doctor recommended I try out yoga, which was then how I started mm-hmm. studying yoga. And
sounds like a lot of good things came out of some undesirable pain.
Yeah, right? definitely. Some very positive things. I mean, there's, you know, there's good and bad to it all. Even the yoga journey, you know. Mm-hmm. But I've learned a lot, and there's a lot of richness to what I've gained through the study of yoga, the study of the body and music, and then melding the two. And there's a lot more to come, because that's really like what I'm inspired to do, is mm-hmm. to create these events and create these opportunities for myself where I am bringing live music, you know.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously, your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
High quality live music mm-hmm. and melding that with awareness practices, somatic awareness practices, and like slowing down and kind of
breathing
and kind of sparking people's curiosity. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what's your favorite kind of yoga to do? Because I know there's a million of them.
So, you know, what I started practicing when I was 15 was Hatha yoga. And that kind of lends itself, I suppose, to Vinyasa yoga. I was trained in Hatha and Vinyasa. And what do these things even really mean?
Right, I don't know.
At this point, like, I'm not confident I can give you a strong answer right now. Mm-hmm. I stopped really being able to do those physical postures and all of that movement because of what I was dealing with physically. And so that is what caused me to really start studying the voice. And there is yoga of sound, which is called Nada yoga. I have not studied that, not officially. However, I think what I have done is Nada yoga, because I have studied and trained in just fundamentally understanding what is the yogic method, what's the yogic approach. And that is what I then applied to training my own voice and like exploring my own breath capacity and breath work. So, I mean, if I were to answer that question, I guess I would say it would be yoga of the voice, because, and like when you start really getting into the voice, which is to say your breath, and really start to experience the body and your diaphragm as this pumping.
Yeah.
Like, it's wild. Mm-hmm. It's incredible. And there's like, it's so interesting. So,
yeah.
Yeah. No,
it really is. It's like, as a singer, you know, it's a muscle. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the more you use it, the more you learn about it, the more you feel that you have control over it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's interesting. I'm going to have to look that up. Is it NADA?
NADA is the yoga of sound. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, check that out. That sounds kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah, I should check it out too, because I really, I haven't looked into it myself. But maybe that's something for down the road. Yeah,
I would like to dig into that a little bit and ask you your expertise on this.
Okay.
As someone who struggles a lot from, you know, nerves, panickiness, you know, the urge to run out of the room when it's your turn to sing.
Mm-hmm.
How does yoga help tame that nervous anxiety?
Is this for real, or are you asking for a friend?
No, I'm asking for me.
Really?
Yeah.
You feel that way?
When I sing, yeah. When I play the drums, no. But when I sing in front of people, like I can hear my voice shaking. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this is not my strongest voice. Mm-hmm. Where's my diaphragm when I'm up here? You know, that type of
thing. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, you know, when I came over to, like, breathe in your house to make sure I wasn't allergic to anything, you mentioned that a little bit.
Yeah.
And
I wasn't going to say anything about that, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that it's all about slowing down. I think it's a lot about slowing down and bringing awareness to the body so as to become aware of the kind of the chain of events that start to occur with the nervous system and with your body, and then applying basically counteractions to what's going on. And it's like this slow rewiring of your nervous system, or a rewiring kind of neurologically of what's going on. Because even I mean, people have a hard time believing that, one, that I even can get nervous still, which absolutely I can, or that I would have ever been nervous before in the past, which absolutely I have been. And that shaking voice and like shaking body, you know, like total dry mouth, which I'm like suffering from a bit right now.
You're excited.
Take a drink. Take a drink.
It's fine.
Do another shot. It helps.
I would say, you know, there's so much that can be achieved when you slow down. When you slow down and you start building your capacity to tolerate the sensations in the body, and when you become more able to tolerate those sensations, then you can start taking other actions as well when they arise. And there's so many little things one can do, and it's a process of exploration, which can be really, really enlightening and fun and scary.
I remember when you and I were talking about having you come in to perform at Skadoo's for the Red Media Artist Session. And one of the things that you said that kind of caught me off guard, because I wasn't sure how to respond. And I was like, you know, I'm sure it'll make sense when I see you. But you said that you weren't coming with your harmonium.
Ooh, I was going to ask about this.
I was like, what the hell is a harmonium? So can you tell us about it? Is it an instrument that you use often? Is it one that, you know, that you bought somewhere, that you created, or what does it mean? I don't even know.
I founded. I am the creator of the harmonium. Yes!
She's an inventor.
That's amazing.
No, nice. Not at all.
Oh, okay.
Not
damn
at
it.
All.
Like a tambourine.
I wish. No, that would be an incredible feat. No, okay, so do you know what a harmonium looks like? Have you looked it up since?
I've only seen it in pictures. It looks like a small banker's box, right, that moves the long way. It looks like a filing cabinet, but it's just one filing cabinet.
It's like a piano with like a thing that you pump, right?
Yeah, so it's like it's got piano.
Oh, I get it. Thank you, Bacon.
You're welcome.
It's got keys, and then it's got a bellows on the back. A bellows on the back, like an accordion.
Yeah. That's the technical term.
Related to the accordion. And I also feel as if it kind of
she would know.
Is related to like the bagpipes in a way, but I don't know if that's a real thing. I wish, like, I need to get the history, just the basic facts of the history of the harmonium down, because so many people have asked me, what is it? You know,
I mean, you started it though, not us.
But it's played widely across India. And so it was, you know, I was introduced to this instrument through the yoga community. And kirtans are a big part of yoga. And just kind of like Indian culture in general. So kirtans are call and response, and they are generally they're religious or spiritual, mantra chanting. And you've got a leader, right? And they're playing the harmonium and they sing, and you sing, and then the crowd sings back and stuff like that. So that's how I was initially introduced to the harmonium. How often do I play it right now? Not often at all.
Okay.
I have not been living in a situation where I have had the ability to really like have space for anything other than my guitar.
Oh yeah.
Right now my harmoniums are stored at my friend Joe's house.
I
have two harmoniums. Okay. Yeah. One is like a bigger one, one's a smaller one. I got the bigger one from this guy
orchestral.
Yeah. I got the bigger one from this guy up in Maryland somewhere. And the smaller one I ordered off of Amazon, but it came from India and it was like wrapped in cardboard, but not the kind of cardboard we have here. Mm. And it was cool.
Sure.
It was like this
good reviews.
Indian cardboard.
Almost like draped.
Really good reviews. Okay, yeah, good. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's got beautiful like floral print on the bellows once you open it up. Love it. Love nice. It. Yeah, yeah.
What kind of songs would you play?
So I have written a handful of songs, original pieces with the harmonium. Two of them are on my EP, The Both of Us and The Next Dawn. So those are two songs that I perform with the harmonium. I can also perform one of my songs, Soil and Earth, which is the single I released a couple years ago. I recorded that on my Casio, but I can play it on the harmonium. And then I have another song called Love that I wrote on the harmonium, so I can perform that as well. But then, other than that, the harmonium does lend itself very well to guiding people in singing and body awareness practices. So, like at my last show, that's what I did. And the harmonium is an incredible instrument. And to me, it feels as close to singing with a choir as I can get without actually singing with a choir. It feels almost like I'm singing with other voices. So, but yeah, when you're listening to the harmonium, it can really just like focus people in, focus their energy in. Yeah. And it's amazing. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know if I've heard it, but I feel like just with the way that you're describing it, I feel like it does kind of like take over the space.
Yeah.
You know, and it makes you focus.
Yeah.
I feel like we use the kazoo for that.
The kazoo.
I don't think so. Yeah. You know, we really get people's attention. Yeah. We bring them in. So if I could relate it to something, I think that would. See, I'm in. What are you doing?
Now
I'm pretending I have a kazoo.
Of the breath in your lower diaphragm.
See? I love it.
We should get some more kazoos to just like hand them out as parting gifts here for the interviews.
Of course.
So how does one tune a harmonium?
Well, I think it's important that we understand what a harmonium is first.
Okay. All right.
Bacon, could you kind of fill us in?
Yes. You know, I wear multiple hats for the podcast. That's so true. There's two different kinds. There's the foot pumped and the hand pumped. The foot pumped was created in 1842 by Alexandre de Debian of Paris. Oh. The hand pumped harmonium was created by...
Does it say Tessa Elena? Go. I swear to God.
Keep going. Go for it. Just try it.
Dwarkaneth Ghoz.
Oh.
Is
how someone who that. Is from...
They're from Bangladesh.
There
India.
We go. Nailed
but
it.
Interestingly enough, it was banned from India from 1940 to 1971.
That Why? Is interesting.
And it's still only provisionally accepted on the national airwaves.
Wow.
Provisionally?
What does that mean on the national airwaves?
I imagine that means their public broadcasting radio.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
There must be some beliefs around
what
it
does. Interestingly, during the Indian independence movement, both British and
Indian
scholars...
your audiences.
Well, that's an interesting thing to talk about. Yeah.
It embodies an unwelcome foreign musical sensibility.
Whoa.
Colonialism at its best.
Oh, colonial. So that was a colonial thing. Yeah. Oh, interesting. Yeah. Okay, okay, okay. Yeah.
And this has been not exciting, but true.
I feel like it's both.
I find it exciting.
Yeah,
I was kind of excited reading it, to be honest.
Were you? I was excited when you did the air quotes.
Oh, yeah, my favorite.
Yes. I thought you would have done breaking news, even though we're talking about stuff that happened in the 1800s.
No. The irony of podcasting.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, so now I'm definitely on board with the hypnosis effect of it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, because over the past couple of years, something I realized is that I do believe... for many years, while I was very involved with this yoga community, there was a lot of hypnosis going on. I was just utterly unaware of it. And when people are intelligent and know how to deliver a yoga sequence paired with music in a very rhythmic, hypnotic way... It's hypnotic.
Mm-hmm.
It's super hypnotic.
Hypnosis, yeah.
and I never thought of that. So I realized that. And so I do think it can be hypnotic, and one needs to be aware of that and then have some kind of like, you know, kind of ethical, I don't know, pillars or like sure. like structures up for themselves, because there are plenty of people everywhere who don't have those, right? Period. And then there are a lot of people who don't have those kind of ethical guidelines in the area of yoga. And I've seen a lot sure. of that.
Or they're not sure what the boundaries should be.
Yeah, yeah. I don't necessarily spend enough time thinking about what those boundaries should be.
I mean, basically running a hot yoga class, I feel like, should be against the
that's,
I had such a bad experience.
The boundaries. So yeah, bad. I did it twice and I was like, I can't do this.
So your EP is called The Both of Us.
Yes.
I'm curious if it's The Both of Us is in reference, is it a figurative us or is it a literal us? Because understanding a little bit about how you mentioned earlier about the chronic pain you've been having. So is the both of us like you and your pain and overcoming that, or is it something else?
Good question. It is a song that I wrote to myself. Mm-hmm. So at the time, actually, I had been doing a form of therapy called internal family systems. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that. Mm-hmm. The framework for internal family systems is to understand oneself as a composition of parts. So you have different parts to yourself. Mm-hmm. And so this was me writing a song to or speaking to and trying to reach and access a part of myself, of a very, very frightened, very, very afraid part mm-hmm. of myself. So it is, I guess, a figurative both of us. It's not a me and an out there you. Mm-hmm. However, I do think the sentiment of the song, it also passes that message on in a nice way, mm-hmm. In a way that I think also lends itself well to, friendships, relationships, just relating to other human beings, some being there for someone in need. And also most especially when I listen to this song, sometimes it conjures up different relationships, but mm-hmm. it's also very much like a mother or a parent to a child. And really like carrying a child mm-hmm. through hardship, through tremendous fear or pain. Yeah.
Yeah. The reason I ask also is because one of the songs on the EP is, I'll try to pronounce this correctly. I'm not sure if I will, but the Sat Nam. Okay. Mm-hmm. It means I am truth, or truth is your essence. Right. So that kind of made me think that maybe they were correlated.
Nice. Yeah. And so when I look at, like, when I see Sat Nam, Sat is truth and Nam is name or identity. Mm-hmm. And people, yes, it's translated that way, that definition you just gave. But mm-hmm. I like to look at mantras and Sanskrit words, and you just kind of, you look at them and you kind of explore their relationship to one another. So when I have really contemplated and worked with Sat Nam, to me, it's in pursuit of the truth, I find my identity. And vice versa, in pursuit of my identity, I find the truth.
Mm. Okay.
So that's like what it means to me.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I'm mind blown.
Yeah.
That was really cool. Good. It's when you are writing, do you find that to either you make the song just a song that you want to write and sing for yourself because it's for you, but then just in terms of the songwriting, you might say, or I hate to use the word embellish, but it kind of is in that sense because you want to be telling your story. Do you find that when you're writing your songs, are you starting with something kind of focused and then you're like, well, what if I did this? That might make the message more impactful, even though it's not the truth, right?
When I'm writing at times, certainly that kind of question can cross my mind. However, I generally tend to need to set that kind of question aside because I always need to, what I find lands me with the best result is me writing what feels right to me. And I don't factor in, like, is it gonna be more relatable to other people this way. Right. And
you have to decide as the artist.
Yeah. And ultimately, I think when people connect to my music, it's just because what I've written is so deeply personal. And I haven't factored in like what they're going to think about it or, and so it winds up being relatable for that reason. Cause it is just me relating.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's the way that you always go about it. Or do you write other songs that are less, intimate that maybe you kind of go off in tangents or storytelling mode?
Well, I mean, so I had this short period at some point during the pandemic when I wrote some funny songs, and that was a total deviation from anything else I'd done. And
can we
I am
find
just
those anywhere?
Waiting. I'm just waiting for that to happen again because that was so fun. I loved that. I mean,
did you really break a tooth on a bowl of soup?
Yeah.
What?
I did. Mm-hmm. You know what's up. Mm-hmm. You went through my Instagram.
Tim's our deep dive guy.
Heck yeah.
Those are
good going.
Those were funny.
So wait, how many songs did you end up writing?
So there's the Chip My Tooth on Soup.
So that really happened.
Yeah. I had to go to
you
got to
take your tooth. Tell me this story.
Let me see.
Tell me.
It was like a back molar. Oh, okay. Yeah. It was a back molar.
Did you put the bowl in your mouth?
So the thing about it is that in the soup were some like pumpkin, or not, no, like some kind of seed.
Sure.
Yeah.
And the seed was like super hard and it chipped my tooth.
Mm. Yeah, avocado soup is what it was.
But
yeah, you had some fun songs.
Thanks,
those were really entertaining.
So there's that one. There's the chipmunk soup.
Yeah.
Sounds fucking stupid. But it's the truth. So that's that one. And then I wrote one about Baby Yoda.
Yep.
Love that one.
Yep. It was The Mandalorian you were watching,
yes,
right?
Yep. Yes. Mm-hmm. I wrote one called Alien. A lot of my people know Alien because I've performed Alien a lot. And I do some throat singing in that song.
Oh.
And that's like quite a crowd pleaser.
What's throat singing?
You know, you sing from your throat. I'm just...
Throat singing is so you create this like it's a bit of a guttural root sound, but then you have harmonics over top of it.
Okay,
yeah.
So that's the thing when you hear people sing and it sounds like they can harmonize with themselves.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Do you want me to do a snippet of it?
That's what I was asking for before you two jumped in.
Okay, I can try it, but I'm going to need to take this off. Okay. And honestly, you might want to take these off because it's going to be really loud.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Oh my God. All right. Let's see.
No pressure.
I haven't warmed up or anything.
No pressure. I won't look at you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't look at me. Hold on.
No, I can hear it. Wow. Where's the applause?
We are hypnotized.
That is wild.
Yeah.
Okay. So why didn't we start with that? At what point did you realize that you could do that? Did you hear somebody else do it and you were like, I'm going to try it? And you were like, well, nailed it.
No, I heard somebody do it and I was like, I need to fucking learn how to do that.
Right.
And so it took me a couple of years just casually just trying to replicate the sound to the best of my ability. And then one day it clicked and I was like, I'm doing it.
Because you heard it and you were like, oh, that's, and that's.
And I don't know, I guess I can just get really curious about sounds and about using my voice. And, you know, I can get obsessive for sure. So
yeah.
I just played with it for a long time and then I could do it. And my show that I did two summers ago, I got the crowd to like do
try it,
it
and
to
do it, yeah.
To do like the first part of, you know, what I would teach people to teach them how to throat sing. So
something that's really interesting about that is when I went and took voice lessons, my voice teacher told me that if you get to your place where you're centered and you're open and you say the word, you have your mouth in the right way, you will automatically find the vibrato in your voice without forcing it, right?
Mm.
And I was like, I there's no way in hell that I have any vibrato in my voice. But after practicing for a few weeks, I found it. Like, I was able to find the place where I do have vibrato in my voice, but it only comes out if I sing an Elvis song. So
let's hear it.
Yeah, come
no,
on.
No.
I'll take the headphones off.
No. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it.
That was the first song that I thought of too.
Right? Like, come on, baby. Come on.
No, like was, Elvis and Sinatra had a baby.
If it was, you have fun yet?
Andrea Bocelli over here.
If it was any other song, I might do it. But
okay,
if
what song?
It's I Can't Help Falling in Love with You.
Brian and I used to do that song.
Okay, so do it.
I'm not going to do it.
See, Brian would sing it, and I would be in the background going, I got to work on it. Ask me in 2 years, come back on the pod, and I'll have it.
Okay.
Yeah, I was impressed. That was awesome, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you. Cool.
I have to actually try this now myself.
I know.
You can do it. Anybody can do it, for sure. Yeah.
Throat singing.
Yeah.
Now, I have to ask, have you ever tried inward singing?
Inward singing, no.
Yeah,
it's you know
what I'm talking about.
Then you start to sing, and then you're fucking singing, and then you fucking stop, and then you're
always fucking singing. And I'm glad you got it.
Yeah, that's a Tenacious D reference, folks. Yeah.
Okay, got it. So Alien, that's one of my popular funny songs, and then I wrote one other funny song, and it doesn't feel finished yet, but it was inspired by Boba Fett. I'm pretty sure it's Boba Fett.
Okay, yeah. I didn't watch that one. It looked bad.
Mm. It was. And so I wrote a funny song about that. but all of that is just to answer, like, yes, I have written other kinds of songs that are like less personal. These ones are funny. Mm-hmm. But other than that, like, I think, yeah, this stuff tends to be pretty personal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you play
other
instruments?
The didgeridoo.
Do you really?
Mm-hmm.
Don't lie to
you
me.
And Joe Downer.
I'm not lying.
Yeah.
The didgeridoo. I had she's still my friend, a French friend, and she was from the south of France, and she played the didgeridoo, and she inspired me to learn it. She tried to teach me, and I just kept trying to figure it out, and then I got it.
Is that a combo of throat singing, or is it kind of like playing the trumpet where you just gotta?
Yeah, it's like it's air. There's no voice involved, though. I can do vocal stuff.
Tim used to play the trumpet. I did that. No.
I also have a little mouth harp.
Those are fun.
And there are different kinds. Mine is, I think, a Vietnamese kind.
Is it not?
There
all
is
metal?
One. There is one reel on Instagram. It's very early on in my Instagram things, but I did a nice little melodic thing playing this little mouth harp.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is it that's Vietnamese
not the same,
one?
That's not the same as harmonica, right?
No.
So it's like almost looks like a key.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
I can do it with my mouth. I don't need a harp. Yeah. Sorry, I interrupted your question.
Break out the bird is the word there. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry. So what is Tap 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 about?
Ooh, good question. So you haven't heard it in full, right?
I've heard the clip, yeah.
The clip. I love that song. I love that song. And I wrote it, I guess, I don't know. I don't know what month I wrote it in, but I guess probably like 6 months ago or something. Okay, so this song I wrote after... Okay, so tapping is... it's in reference to a practice. It's called Emotional Freedom Technique. Which you like tap on your head, your eyebrow, the side here. This is about like emotional release and nervous system emotional regulation.
Okay.
So I was working with somebody for a while. She's supposed to be like, you know, like an expert in that field and whatnot, trying to work on stuff because I was very, very sick and really, really struggling. And it wasn't working. It wasn't working for me. And, you know, what I will say is, like, ultimately, I needed to abandon that because what was going on with me, one of the things that I'm dealing with right now is that I've had a toxic mold infection. So I lived somewhere where I was exposed to toxic mold for a long amount of time. And so the mold, it comes into your body and it starts to attack your nervous system, your brain, your organs. And makes you super ill. And so I had been trying for a long time to like address kind of just, you know, the emotional, mental, nervous system aspects of what I have has been hell, by doing this emotional freedom technique. And the experience that I had with this woman, along with another hypnotherapist that I was working with, was like, they just kept on ultimately getting to this feedback, which is like, you're not doing it right. You're not doing it enough. And it's like your fault. And I finally got to this point where I was like, this is ridiculous. And like, I'm not listening to this anymore. Mm-hmm. I need to go down this other path. And then I finally got tested for mold and I found out that I had this infection. Wow. I had all this stuff going on.
Yeah. And like, no, I'm not crazy.
Yeah, exactly. And me not getting better isn't a function of like the absence of my willpower. And something that I've realized, and someone asked me about this recently, is that I have an incredible willpower, and that's why I probably have tried for so long to get better just through willpower, thinking that I could, but I couldn't, because it's not a matter of that. You know, there's some real, you know, medical and like biological things going on here.
Mold's no joke. We had one of the other artists that we interviewed earlier in the year. She's had an ongoing thing with her apartment. It's just an older apartment. Mm-hmm. She's in, you know, on a higher level floor. And I don't know, I guess for whatever reason, for multiple reasons, they've had a difficulty acknowledging it, addressing it.
Yeah.
And it's like people just don't care.
Yeah. They, you know. And people don't know well enough how dangerous it is.
Yeah.
And so that experience, you know, I wrote Tap, Tap, Tap out of that experience. It also conjures up like experiences from childhood where it's like, you know, the experiences that I had where it's just like, you're not doing it right. So get out of here. Or, you know, like you're not good enough, you know?
Yeah.
So go home, you know? And so that's what Tap, Tap, Tap is about. And it's both like, you know, it's about this, like, I'm trying to tap this out, but I don't, so it won't leave me alone.
Right.
So I don't do it, or I don't do it well enough. And so it won't leave me alone and the suffering continues or whatever. Right.
Yeah.
And it's also simultaneously a reflection of like this sentiment that, and this like treatment that I was faced with over and over as a child.
And how good did that feel to put that out?
It felt great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It did feel really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And cause there is one that, you know, the part of the song where it builds, and like, I guess it's the bridge where I'm really like embodying that, like, you're not doing it right, so go home or get out of here, you know, like just cruel. Like there's something that feels good about like, I don't know, like embodying that, or just like, this is what has been, this is what was handed to me. Yeah. And like, I'm portraying it, and I'm portraying it to show you that it's fucked up, you know, and it's wrong, you know? It feels good. It feels good to get that out.
Almost like you're letting go of those emotions and you're kind of persevering through it. That's awesome.
Yeah. And then like the chorus brings me to just like, leave me alone, you know? And it's just like, it's like me saying, you know, get out of here.
Yeah. I wrote a song. Yeah. He referenced that a long time ago called 1111, because I would see it all the time. And people are like, oh, it's a good omen. Oh, it's this and that. I was like, just leave me alone. Like, I don't want anything to do with it.
Mm-hmm,
like, I don't care. I haven't gotten anything out of it. Like, stop. Like, and it just would continue on.
Same, but different.
Oh, it's a lot different. A lot. I'm not trying to compare.
No.
Right?
But
the same kind of sentiment. And that's one of those things. Like, it just kind of builds in you. You let it out in a song and it kind of just feels good.
Yeah.
You kind of just release it.
Yeah.
Right. And you're just done. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's cool. Yeah.
Great question. Thank you.
Yeah, of course. So you had somebody playing drums with you on there.
Yes.
Is that somebody you play with regularly, or?
Well, I mean, we did a lot of practicing leading up to that show. So Alex and I rehearsed for, you know, a few to several months leading up to the show. We haven't gotten together since then. it was for that.
Right.
Very
cool. So is there maybe a projection forward that maybe you do a band thing?
I would love to. Yes. Okay. I would love to in the future have a band thing. Yeah. Heck yeah. Because and you might not know this because there aren't exactly like, you know, crumbs of this anywhere, like on my Instagram or whatever.
I tried. I dug.
But like my sophomore year at Temple University, I was in a band. I was in an all-girl band, and we were called Lady Parts.
And oh, yes.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Well, they were individually parts of the band, and they were ladies.
Ladies.
I get it. Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
It's a double entendre, if I may.
Natalia's brought back the muff.
And there you go. Yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
So, so I had a band with them, and like three of us out of the four, we were in an a cappella group together the freshman year.
Okay.
And so we were strong singers, and we basically did originals written by each of us. And I did, I think, three originals of mine with them. And so we had killer harmonies on a number on my songs. And God, yes, I would love to have a band again.
Very
yeah.
Cool.
And so, down the road.
That's okay. So awesome that you were writing so early. Mm. And to completion, there were a lot of things that I wrote early on that never went anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had a hook or I had a verse or whatever, but it never turned into a song.
Yeah.
Much less anything I would perform.
Yeah. And I mean that, like, I don't turn everything that I write into a song.
Sure.
For sure. And at that age, back when I was in that band and stuff, I struggled a lot. Would get very frustrated with myself and would want to write a song, but it wasn't coming naturally. And I'm sure you've heard of The Artist's Way.
I don't know. I don't think so.
It's it's a workbook for artists, basically. And I only did maybe the first several chapters or whatever, but it helped me. It helped me a lot. And one of the key things is stream of consciousness writing. And it helps to... The point of doing that is to kind of get over or kind of begin to turn down the volume on your inner critic and the thing that is like, what's that?
No, I'm not.
No.
I was just more it's like, kind of how do you turn that down?
Right. And that I think like I started to experience more ease and stopped like beating myself up with like the writing process. And it didn't happen like quickly or whatever, but definitely at this point, I'm like, I know now that I don't force a song. And if it comes through me, it does. If it doesn't, whatever. You're like, right. Keep moving on, Yeah.
Was that an accent there at the end?
Put another shrimp on the bobby.
Yeah, keep rolling on.
So if I may, I want to take that opportunity to turn around and play something from the both of us.
Okay,
this is the Satnam Mantra song. I think one of the things that really stuck out with me on this song...
Shh, hold on, I'm listening.
Oh, sorry.
This sounds like a soundtrack song. This is like Avatar or something.
I see a lot of, like, the songs on this EP, I see them in movies, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Isn't that cool?
Lion
All you gotta do is be patient.
Mm-hmm.
Lion King Part 3.
I love how Bacon was trying to talk and you shushed him only for you to then talk over it.
I know.
I picked up on that, by the way.
I wasn't going to say anything.
If you thought it was intentional, it was.
Maybe I needed to be shut up. It's fine. I'm just curious, like, does this song kind of like ground you in your truth in that way? Like, this is how I feel. And even my internal critic's not going to tell me that that's not how I feel, you know?
So I would say, like what is, I wouldn't say that it grounds me in like what necessarily my truth is, because I wouldn't, my ability to to ground in that or be like really strongly connected to that, that fluctuates.
Yeah.
Right. This song does calm me. And it can,
I'm calm as hell right now.
Yeah, yeah. It really is.
It can really, really calm the waters of the mind. So, you know, when you think about the mind as if it's an ocean, and when it gets like so loud and crazy and you've just got waves, you know, and it's just so busy, like this can really calm and still the waters and make the water clear for a little bit. And then, you know, with that greater clarity, I can start to sense some stronger, you know, I can have that greater connection to something that feels like my truth or whatever it is, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Are you familiar with Imogen Heap or Frou Frou? Yeah.
Am I?
This is that vibe.
Oh my God. I love, I mean, Imogen Heap, it's the Clear the Area album. Is that the name of the album? I can never remember the name of the album itself.
I'm terrible with song names and album
names. Oh, no, it's called Speak for Yourself. That's what it is.
Okay.
It's called Speak for Yourself, but it's got Hide and Seek and Headlock.
Yeah, okay.
Yep, I know that album like the back of my hand. I love that one. And Frou Frou.
Yep. Yeah, you're in that space for sure.
Yeah.
That was very pleasant.
Good. So, yeah. I'm glad. Yeah, you know, and this is a 9-minute track, and
I would listen to the whole damn thing.
Oh, you know, just sit down, lie down. I mean, I think something that's so incredible for me is that, so I recorded this in 2019 and I released it in 2023. So I was in a car accident at the beginning of 2021, and it just set off this this domino effect of just like hell. Right.
Yeah.
And this EP, you know, before I released it or anything, wound up being at various points very, very critical points, and continues to be. Like, if I am in crisis, I listen to this EP and it brings me back, you know. And that's a wild thing.
Or do you just let it take you?
If I'm in crisis, I just listen to it. So I'm not singing with it. But if I'm listening to it and it's just, you know, I'm just listening to it because I am, and driving in the car or whatever, like, yeah, I'm definitely singing with it. But like, I mean, I you know, last year and like three houses ago, so three rented rooms ago,
right.
Going through a really, really rough patch and just lying on my bed and listening to this on my speakers, and then walking myself through, you know, some body awareness and just paying attention to my breath. And I just went through, you know, like this big, big shift, you know, a downshift. That's an awesome thing. It's an awesome thing to experience, you know, being able to slow yourself down and shift out of a bad place. But like, I'm also aware of this very unique and special experience I've been able to have, which is that my own music is healing me. My own voice is healing me. Yeah. And that's wild. Mm-hmm. And also a very strong, very potent experience that I've had when listening to the both of us, when I've gone through these periods of crisis, that song singing to me. And it just like, it gave me something to hold on to. Like, that's me, literally me, singing to myself, giving me some sort of promise, some sort of assurance that I'm going to get through it, you know, when I could not see the way through and I, you know, I didn't want to see the way through anymore. It's a wild thing.
It's incredibly empowering.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it kind of goes back to the song, like the translation of the song, in my truth, in the true essence of truth, you know, like me, I am myself. Is calming me.
Mm-hmm. Amen to that. Yeah. Amen to that.
Right?
Yeah.
It's a nice place to be.
Yep. But like when I recorded this, and it was like, I think maybe four days back to back or something, I just felt so like, I've never felt like that before. And it's a little bit hard to conjure up right now, but I do know, I just felt, oh, this is what I want to do. Like, this is where I want to be, you know, like, I love this so much. This is, this, it just, you know, when you you're in the zone. Like yeah. Yeah.
Or, and isn't wonderful. It a great feeling just like telling people like my stuff's out there now.
Yeah, it right? is. Yes.
Go enjoy it. Go yes. take it. Go run with it. And the fact that, and it's probably worth every penny, the fact that, like you said, like it turns around and it helps you
yes.
still.
Yes.
And I know deep down, like if you could help just one person mm-hmm. outside of yourself, it's worth it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. That absolutely. If you could make a difference in one person's life with the music that you put together, that you came up with.
Well,
it's
also,
all worth it,
also,
you know, and that's yeah. cool. That's a great feeling.
Capitalize yeah. on that. Don't, I mean, it's interesting to hear you say that you said you recorded it in 2019 mm-hmm. and released it in 2023. Mm-hmm. So you sat on it that long mm-hmm. waiting for the right opportunity, I would yeah. imagine. But it's funny when I talk to people about doing something or not doing something, the answer I often get from people that have been through it before is the money will come. The money will come eventually, you know, like you spend the money now to do the thing that you're going to appreciate for many years to come.
Yeah.
Because later on, you know, the money will eventually refill itself.
Let me check my CD Baby account. Hold on.
Oh, shut up. No, I'm not saying that the
nope,
money.
Nope, still hasn't come yet.
I don't think, I think I've hit $25 on CD Baby. But I'm talking about otherwise.
No, I like, know what you mean.
You
I'm
get
just
the money
kidding.
From other places. You'll figure it out. Yeah. For those that are dedicated and you know that are trying to make something of themselves, whether they're on the radio or not. But you know, you'll figure it out. Have you thought about doing it yourself ever? Have you done any recordings in your own home?
Yeah, I have. Yeah. I haven't had that capacity in a few years because I haven't had the space.
It takes a lot of time, energy. You do have to have the space for it.
Yeah, and but I did record Soil and Earth by myself. So nice. That one is home recorded.
Sorry, I'm listening to something.
Look at her.
Very nice.
She's getting into it.
Yeah. These thoughts and feelings are the soil and earth that make my ground.
You do have such a pleasant voice.
It is really, really good.
The soil and earth that make my ground.
And you're on a Casio, you said?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Logic.
Ableton.
Yep.
I really like the line, the soil and earth that makes my ground. I love that line because it's literal and it's also not, it's yeah. also figurative, you know?
Yeah.
When you have houseplants and it really gets you. It's
that's
home
was,
for you.
My green thumb was throbbing.
No wonder he connects to that. Yeah. Green thumb was at attention on that one.
Yeah, it was like, hey, it's all about the plants. Soil and dirt.
Look at that. See, you made an impact on him.
That's good. Cool. Glad.
Thanks for hanging out with us.
Thanks for yeah. having me.
Is there anything you want to plug?
Yeah, do you have any shows coming up or anything else that you want to
well,
toss your socials?
Out there? Yeah.
Yes, okay. Yes, my socials, at Tessa Elena on Instagram. Please mm-hmm. follow me. That is where I post my updates, really. I do have a Facebook page at Tessa, or it's like Tessa Elena Music. That's just populated by my Instagram page. And then I also have a website, TessaElena.com. So you can check that out, learn a little bit about me, and get in touch if you'd like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and don't forget that Tessa also has songs on Spotify and Apple Music. Highly recommend the both of us. Please go check that out. That's in the list of my most streamed in the last few days.
Fabulous.
Poor Steely Dan.
Yeah, Steely Dan's wow. like, dude, WTF.
Suffering.
We thought we were your jam. And I was like,
we
well,
had a good thing going.
I've got a new jam now, Steely Dan.
There you go.
And I would also say, actually, and my YouTube channel, because I do have some recordings, and I will be populating that with more recordings from my two most recent self-produced shows.
All right.
Wow.
Sounds good.
If we don't talk to you again, safe travels to Michigan.
Thank you.
And you're welcome back anytime.
Yeah, we'll have to do a remote session yep. that time.
Feel free to check Heck in with yeah. us. Let us know how things are going.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank Cheers. You, Tessa.
Thank
Cheers.
You guys Tessa. So Cheers. Much. Thank you. I've really, really enjoyed this.
Yes, absolutely.
Fun. All right, Bacon. Sing a song.
This
This podcast was produced and engineered by Michael Bacon in cooperation with Revelry Media Productions. Video provided by Brian Johnson, also known as AzureVox. Please like and subscribe to stay up to date on our latest episodes. Be sure to follow us on Instagram at PodcastRNV and on TikTok at podcast.nv. Send us your thoughts over email at feedback@podcastnv.com. See you soon.
He's going to do like a beat and then you can.
I do a beat on top of it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, maybe you kind of jump in with some. It's so hard to describe some noises.
Ha 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 ha!